The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Don't know where they go, but they're gone. We continue to see more and more that things are not as we hoped they would be. I'm not going to get into a big rant tonight about that. I'm waiting the 90 days before I come back with my formal assessment, but I don't know anybody now who's not seeing what I've been seeing for weeks. It's not happening. Now, had Hillary gotten in there, it would have been worse. No question. But what we're seeing now is a man who quite clearly, and I don't believe he was lying, but who quite clearly has been subjugated and controlled. He's doing what he's told. If you'll notice, many of his top positions, Secretary of State, Vice President, continually stab him in the back. They're not loyal. Reince Priebus, who has not had his name in the news much, he's laying low. The spy for Rat Ryan, McMaster, very treacherous individual, CFR, anti-Trumper. Trump wouldn't pick these people. He's being told what to do. We're in trouble, big trouble. Doesn't mean we quit, but it means we've got to be aware. We're going to spend this evening with Admiral Harry Cooper and have another wonderful trip. Travels with Harry. He just got back a couple of weeks ago from a shortened research expedition down to South America. We'll hear about that tonight. We got a lot of pictures to look at as well, and other things going on. And I have to say that every time I read of another horror in Germany and Europe, but especially Germany, it deeply saddens me that this is being allowed to be done to Germany. These aren't refugees. They're not migrants. These are political pawns. They're fighting age men. They're being set up in Europe for obviously what's coming. They're using rape as a weapon. And when you think back to 70, 75 years ago, what Germany was and what it has become, what it has been turned into, it is one of the greatest tragedies of modern history. I know some of you won't understand what I'm saying, but some of you will, and that's good enough for me. All right. Harry, how are you?
3-week-long flu. I was in South America when my son and my wife got that stuff, and boy, it knocked them down hard for about 3 weeks.
Yeah, I wish I'd have known. I could have. The Allison C will turn that around. It cleans it out. I started to get it, and I beat it in 2.5 days.
Yeah, 2 years ago when we were in South Germany, one of our members started coming down with, I guess, that same kind of ailment. And another one of our members along there had some Allison C with him, and he gave it to our guy, and bang, zoom, he was
wow.
vertical the next day.
What a great story. And
yeah.
It's true. They're using it in UK hospitals now constantly.
Really?
For
wow.
The antibiotics that they have no longer work with the superbugs, and this will kill
yeah.
superbugs. It kills them. It's a remarkable product. Thanks for
yeah.
that little interesting tidbit. So
yeah.
as I said going into this, you are seeing maybe on your trips to Europe, giving people a chance to see the last of what Germany really is. It's not looking good.
We were there, as you know, in September, yeah. late September of 2015. When the first wave came in, and I mean
yeah.
wave, we,
yeah.
it's just a mob of people. We saw it. And they actually, this was on the border of Bavaria and Austria. And, you know, there's no speed limit on the Autobahn,
mm-hmm.
except going north out of Austria into Germany, you had to stop. They put a barricade across the Autobahn, you had to stop. Every car had to be checked. They look in the trunk, make sure nobody was sneaking in. But, you know, that's the old story of locking the barn door after your horse is gone.
Correct.
They were yeah. there by the tens of thousands.
Hundreds of thousands.
Yeah.
All sent in. These are all fighting age men, as I said.
Yeah, 18 to 25-ish. No women, no kids, much as the lamestream media likes to show pictures of poor women carrying their children. That's all hocus pocus, because I didn't see any of that. All I saw was young men. And then, of course, they cry, oh, they come in with just the clothes on their back. Yeah, they're dressed better than me. And they all got brand new cell phones and a pocket full of cash.
Yeah, and that continues. Then
yeah.
they get residents, they get health, they get this and that, and they get all the white Caucasian women that can rape. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable what's going
yeah,
on there.
I had friends in Austria said that now women are being gang raped in the broad daylight and nobody can help them because you're not allowed to offend the whatever those people are. Oh, immigrants, I'm sorry.
No, they're not immigrants. They're political tools. It's an invading army, and they
yeah.
should be addressed as an invading army. They should be repelled. They should be dealt with as if they were invade. When they pull out their prepositioned stash of arms and begin to kill Germans by the thousands, you're going to see something that you haven't seen in our lifetimes. You remember World War II, but this will be reminiscent of the Russian invasion of Eastern Germany and what happened. It's going
yeah.
to be horrible, and all I can do is do the best I can to inform people. That's all.
Yeah, because over there, they're not allowed to own guns.
No.
Well, maybe a rifle or a shotgun.
The Austrians are allowed to have shotguns, but
right,
not the Germans.
For hunting.
Yeah. Not the Germans. I had somebody on the other night. I sent you a video. It's the 44-minute program. It's up just above headlines at Rents if you all want to listen. Maybe you heard it. And it was a woman in Germany who's been there. She's, you know, a middle-aged woman who has seen it all. And she just laid it out. It is grim. Now, when you go on your trips, the patrols that you take are very, they're safe. I don't want to scare
yeah.
anybody away. That's not the issue here. These people are essentially concentrated in clots, in groups over urban areas. They're
right.
They stay together, okay? Not hard to avoid at this point in time. But when they begin to receive their orders to roll out and engage in mass civil insurrections and shooting, when they get their guns, it's going to be hell. But in the
yeah.
meantime, you still got chances to go with Harry over there and see some truly astonishing historical things. And I hope you'll take advantage of that opportunity while it's still
yeah,
there.
Your listeners can go to the website, sharkhunters.com, and then click on tours. And they'll see all the information, also our previous tours, but then the upcoming tour in southern Germany and Austria coming up late September this year.
Yeah.
We go to Munich, see historic places in Munich. We go to Nuremberg, naturally historic places there. We go down then to far south Austria, and we're guests at the Navy League Club, and then we're also guests of the big memorial that they put up on the top of a mountain. It's a very significant mountain, and they remember everyone who fell in battle, no matter what flag flew over them and no matter what uniform they wore. If they died in combat, they're honored at that place. Then we go up, then we have some other secret things to see, tunnels, bunkers. We also visit the Red Bull Museum hangar.
Yeah.
Until last year, I didn't even know Red Bull was not an American company. It's it's Austrian.
That's amazing.
And they've got a P-38 fighter. It's the only flying P-38 in all of Europe and one of the few flying P-38s in the world. They've also got a B-25 Mitchell. They've got a Corsair, and they've got a bunch of Russian jets. And we go there. It's really, really nice.
Well, and then you've been able to show us some pictures of some of that, and it's fascinating.
Yeah, yeah, that's all under previous tours. And, you know, anybody can go there, sharkhunters.com, click on previous tours. Make sure you got plenty of chips and dips and Pepsi, if that's because you're going to be, it'll just suck you right in. You'll be watching those pictures forever. There's thousands of them on the site, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fun. We're going to look at some new ones tonight as well. Now, you told me something, oh, I don't know, a week ago after you got back, when I sent you the story about this German supply train, which has been found holed up somewhere in a mountain. There was a tunnel, and they blew the ends and left the train in there, I guess. Now, it doesn't have, you know, golden relics and the body of Adolf Hitler, but it's a supply train. And if it's as we think it is, it's going to be time travel. I don't care what's in it. If it's war era goods, supplies, it will be absolutely fascinating. And talk about a tourist attraction. There's another one, time travel. Tell us what you know about it.
Not a whole lot, except, like you say, there's no gold, no diamonds, no treasures from the Louvre. Adolf Hitler's body is not aboard. It was a supply train. This is in the Ebensee complex where in Austria, not far from Linz, where they were. They had an underground factory. There's pictures of the one tunnel we were in last year. That's on previous tours under 2016 Southern Patrol. They had factories in there. They had machinery in there. They had all sorts of equipment making all sorts of stuff. But in another one of those tunnels, they ran this train in. The tunnel didn't have two ends. It only had one end. It was a tunnel into the mountain.
Sure.
Where they bring the train in and load up. Yeah, offload stuff like coal and lumber and what they needed to keep the factory in there going, and then going out, they'd load it with whatever they were making in there. Most of them, they were making aircraft bodies for the Heinkel jet fighter, I think, and also the ME-262s.
Well, the little Salamander, the single jet people's fighter. I've got pictures of those in a cave, several hundred of them in various stages of construction. They had a squadron or two of them at the end of the war. They had no pilots, they had no fuel, but they were ready to go.
Oh, yeah, they built so much stuff. There's another place we have not visited yet because it's a little difficult to get to. It's on a military base, and I can't play my stupid hillbilly routine there. You know, golly, Sergeant, I didn't know this wasn't the way to the beach.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't work on a military base. But they were making ME-262 jet fighters inside a mountain. This is in Thuringen. And they would roll them out the side of the mountain on a little dolly rack kind of thing and then run them on a lift up to the top of the mountain where they had an airstrip, and they'd fly them out of there to whatever air base they were going to. But like you say, their pilots were Their experienced pilots were all gone for the most part. Some were still flying, but most were young kids, and they had no fuel. When the war ended, there were hundreds and hundreds of planes just sitting there with empty fuel tanks.
Yeah, so, it's quite a story. And yeah, now look what we have. Look what we have now. How can this be? The globalists have turned these legions of subhuman savages into an invading army. And how they got the media to sell out and Mrs. Merkel, the lesbian communist German hater, which is what she is.
How do you really feel there, Jeff?
I'll get to it. It's enough to make you puke.
Yeah. There's so many goofy rumors, too. Some rumors are saying she's Adolf Hitler's love child, which I think is absolutely ridiculous. Others are saying she was cloned from Hitler, and which I think is just as equally idiotic. So just raised in communist East Germany, and she's right there to do a job for whoever pulls the strings.
What's interesting about her is her facial features do overlay fairly well with Adolf Hitler's, and you put a mustache on her, and there's a resemblance, and so that's what's fueling all this stuff.
Well, yeah, plus a lot of conspiracy theorists who they see evil behind every tree, or they see some kind of a theory behind every tree.
A lot of them see dollars behind every tree.
Say again?
A lot of them see dollars behind every tree.
Well, yeah, that's kind of what makes the world turn, isn't it? Somehow I haven't figured out how to get rich from shark hunters.
Well, you're not lying enough. That's your problem.
Yeah, I can't bring myself to lie. Today I had to write a check for $3,000 out of my savings account into the shark hunters operational account. So far, shark hunters owes Harry Cooper $138,000. So I think this is a reverse salary here.
Well, you know, it's such a crucial thing that you've provided for so many people. Without you, there would be an enormous gap in our knowledge base, period. We wouldn't know about this stuff. So, yeah, your sacrifices have been difficult, painful, but we are all the better, and we owe you, all of us who care about history. We owe you a great deal.
So. Yeah, I'm having a lot of fun doing it, and I consider myself incredibly lucky. I was able to meet so many of these great U-boat veterans and World War II American and British veterans.
Sure.
Of the war as well.
Yep.
Gene Flucky, the most highly decorated American submariner ever, with the Medal of Honor, four Navy crosses, et cetera, et cetera. He was on our board. He was a guest in my house.
Nice.
Joe Enright, the submarine commander who sank the biggest ship ever sunk by a submarine. He was a guest here. The chief of intelligence of the Soviet Navy was a guest in my house twice.
It's truly an international, worldwide organization in terms of honoring all the people who fought in World War II. And these cheap shit groups who try, these cheap groups that try to put you down and paint you out to be an anti-Semite and all that. I've been painted by the same brush they have.
Yeah,
they're all phonies. More and more people are waking up to the fact that these groups are bogus. They're driven by only one thing, and that's not the truth. They're driven by their political agendas. They don't care about the truth.
And as you saw in the hotmail I sent out the other day, all they have to do is fling the word Nazi out, and it's supposed to discolor you. I just found out today that this little flamer from England, now I don't know if he really is a fudge packer, but we have been told that he is a flaming homosexual. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. But we've also been told that he's paid to attack historically accurate books like mine. And boy, he sure does. Mm-hmm. He came out with something on, his own website or something, attacking me. And this came out in December, and we're just finding out about it now. So apparently he doesn't have a whole lot of people reading his stuff. We get 14 million hits a year on our website. But he uses as many words to attack me as I use in the
book. Let him talk. It's ultimately free publicity.
Well, yeah, every time the Spitlickers, Southern Poverty Law Center, sometimes called the Spitlickers, every time they attack me, our membership goes up.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, they'll never learn. They don't care.
You know, like Phineas T. Barnum once said, there's no such thing as bad press.
And no, there, is, said, there really isn't.
Yeah, he also said, I don't care what you write about me, just spell my name right.
Phineas was pretty smart.
Yeah,
anybody
pretty
who
smart
goes...
guy.
Anybody who goes to Shark Hunters and looks around sees immediately this is an historical repository of knowledge, of photographs, of data, of first-person accounts, and so many of them. People wrote their own accounts. It's really, again, to use the expression, it's a time travel organization is what you've done, and it's such an important thing.
It really is, yeah. And... incidentally, if your listeners want to send me an email at sharkhunters@earthlink.net and say they listen to the show, they'd like a free copy of our electronic magazine, I'll have it out to them tomorrow.
Wow. I honestly don't know how you continue to produce such beautiful, informative, incredible pieces of history like that. They're great.
Thank you. I don't know either. You should. I'm in my office right now. It looks like an explosion in the public library. I got piles of books all over the floor. I got piles of paper all over the floor. And as you know, I put out a magazine almost once a month, nine times a year. I've got two books in production right now. And what the heck else? Is there something else I'm doing? I can't remember. I'll have to look at my Hotmail of things to do. I put out a Hotmail, try to do it every day when there's news. And you get it too, but this is stuff that doesn't go in our magazine. This is stuff on Russia's new F-100 stealth fighter. And we just put out one this morning on the disaster they're having in the Royal Navy with their Queen Elizabeth class aircraft carriers. They're way behind schedule. They're over budget by 1 or 2%, which doesn't sound like much. But when the project is £6.5 billion,
right,
1 or 2% is a healthy chunk of money.
I don't know what they're building those for. The day of the aircraft carrier is over. They're too easily taken out.
Yeah, and they built three of their brand new ambush class submarines that can sit in British home waters and listen to ships in New York Harbor, and yet the first one, HMS Ambush, couldn't find out where the bottom of the ocean was till it crashed into it and went aground. Another one of the class was off Gibraltar and decided to surface and didn't realize there was a tanker upstairs.
Unbelievable.
And came up right under the tanker.
Unbelievable.
Yeah,
just,
unbelievable.
Just
you know,
crazy.
As Artie Johnson used to say on Laugh-In.
Yeah.
That was a TV show back in the 60s for your listeners.
That's a good one. All right, now listen, we'll be right back. We have to pause. When we come back, I'd like you to go to Guests and look under Harry Cooper's name and click on Photos and load them up, and we're going to start on our journey tonight. Travels with Harry, coming up next. Admiral Cooper, please go to Guests at Rents and look under Harry's name. Harry will take you, if you click on his name, right to Shark Hunters. But let's load up photos. I'll do that with you. And we'll begin to take a look at some things on the Argentina research trip. Now, this was supposed to be Argentina-Brazil research trip. What happened down there?
And Paraguay.
And Paraguay, too.
Yeah, there seemed to be an irregularity on my Brazil visa. And so I didn't get into Brazil, and because my research associates are in Brazil, that we're going to go over to Paraguay, that didn't go either. But as it turns out, we have dug up more stuff once I got back home. So I'm going to turn around and head right back out there as soon as I get a new visa. But believe me, getting a visa to Brazil Holy cow, you got to naturally have to give them a photo of yourself and fill out a bunch of paperwork, which is fine, and give them $160. But you have to give them your last 3 months' bank statements. You have to have all sorts of other paperwork. Plus, you have to sign an affidavit that you're not going to stay there and get a job. Now, Brazil's a nice country, but I sure as hell am not going to stay there.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to do all this crap. When you go to, for instance, like Paraguay, to get a visa, when I went last time, you go to the office, you mm-hmm. just fill out a one-sided sheet of paper.
Really?
Give them your picture, give them $160. Come
well, that's how it ought to be.
Yeah, bang, zoom, you got your visa, but... With Brazil, holy smokers, you can't get it right away. It takes minimum 10 days, sometimes a couple of weeks. You got to leave your passport there. And, oh, man, you got to jump through hoops. And they tell you right there on the on their website, don't ask to expedite your visa request because they ain't going to do it.
Hmm.
Incidentally, to your listener, John, mm-hmm. I got your email, and tomorrow morning you'll get the current issue of our magazine.
Very
one
nice.
Of your one of your listeners yeah. just clicked in.
Uh-huh. Excellent. All right.
Yep. So well, anybody else want the magazine? Sharkhunters@earthlink.net. So anyhow, we were going to go into some really, really important places in Paraguay, but like I say, I got to get to Brazil first to mm-hmm. meet with my associates there, and they had a four-wheel drive set up for us because we're going into deep back country. And the damnedest thing when I got to the border crossing, same one I was at a year ago, I went into Brazil and back to Argentina, three round trips. And the guy says, no, your visa expired years ago. And I said, no, it's a 10-year visa. He said, no, it expired in 2009. I said, that's when it was issued. Nope, he said it was expired. So anyhow, I told him I was three round trips through that very same border post. And we're not talking a huge building.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking a little building, maybe, 70 feet long by about 20 feet wide. That's it, with about six counters. I said it was six times I went through this border, three times into Brazil, three times back to Argentina. He flipped through my passport, and he says, no, I don't see any stamps from Brazil. And I'm thinking, what the hell? I was here. They didn't stamp my visa.
So they just waved you on through?
Yeah.
Huh.
Even though my associates took my visa and went into that same building and came back out, I never even looked at the passport. I've just figured it would get stamped.
Sure, of course.
I had so many stamps in my passport, I had to get another, 24 pages put in, which costs you another $150 to the State Department here. But it never dawned on me I should look to see that they stamp my passport. So,
well, you'll do it.
We
next
are
time.
Gathering up more information, so when I return, hopefully in about 3 months, things are coming together, Jeff. We have two separate entities, let's call it,
mm-hmm.
that are giving us information on certain things in Bolivia, Brazil, and Paraguay. These two entities don't know each other, don't even know the other one exists, but the stories are absolutely complementing each other. Dates, everything. And I can't say much more than that, but excuse me.
That's great. Fun stuff.
Yeah.
So you'll go back as soon as you get your Brazil passport straightened out.
Yeah, as soon as we mm-hmm. get that squared away, I'm going back. It's beating the hell out of our wallet. Like I say, I just had to write a check for $3,000 from Harry Cooper, private individual, into Shark Hunters. And Shark Hunters now owes me $138,000, which I'm sure I'll never get, but what the heck, it's only money.
Only money. You can't take it with you.
That's right. My friend Ingrid Scharfenberg, who owned the Hotel Zum Turken in Bavaria, always told me, you never see a Brinks truck following a hearse.
No, it doesn't work that way.
No,
although there have actually been people buried in their automobiles. That's kind of weird. I've seen one or two stories about that.
Yeah, but I bet you
they
can't drive them.
No, they don't get much mileage down there. But
no, I don't imagine getting it out of the ground.
Buried in their cars.
Yeah, well, if I thought that would work, I'm supposed to pick up my Corvette from the shop tomorrow. This is a Corvette I got for free in the year 2000.
What's wrong with it?
Well, you know, you had a Corvette. You know how they run. You get on the gas, boy, and the phone poles go by like a picket fence.
Yeah.
But with mine, after I'd stand on it, and I'd be accelerating like gangbusters, and all of a sudden, bloop, 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 the thing would bog out. So over the years, a lot of gunk had accumulated around the pickup in the fuel tank.
Uh-huh.
So they just put in a new electric fuel pump.
You're good.
And they opened up the tank, and they cleaned everything out of the tank, so it's absolutely brand new.
You know,
tomorrow and
good. We'll have fun.
I'll see how many tickets I can skirt around tomorrow.
Let me tell people it's something that you know very well. But all of this ethanol fuel is death to engines. If you can find a dealer that sells ethanol-free gas, and I am blessed to have one a couple of miles away, it's all I'll use. You ask any mechanic who's worked on engines, and he'll tell you since the introduction of ethanol fuel, he has seen destroyed engine. First, it takes out the rubber. Then it goes for the plastic. Then it goes for the metal. This stuff is death to engines.
Yeah,
stay away from it.
That's what he said caused my electric fuel pump to jam up.
Of course.
So
we
have several stations around here, surprisingly, because we live out in the woods
that's
here in hillbilly heaven.
Ah.
And we have several stations that sell ethanol-free gasoline. I think it costs about a half a buck a gallon.
No, pay now or you're going to pay later.
Yeah, I know. I've seen that commercial.
Well,
pay me now
or
pay me later.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Argentina.
Let's go to Argentina.
Take a look. We got our pictures loaded up here, and Argentina research trip. All right, there's a nice boulevard looking across at a pretty lawn with
a big tree.
Yeah.
These are shots I took coming in from the airport, I think it was. Buenos Aires is a magnificent city. Of course, it's got its slums, really nasty slums, as we drive by on the interstate, but it's called the Paris of the South. And they got parks, they got boulevards all over the place. One thing, though, as I've said before, the speed limit signs, the stop signs, the traffic lights, those are merely suggestions. And the white lines on the street,
modern art. I got it.
When we get to a picture further on, I'll tell you about the ride I got for 45 minutes through Buenos Aires. Holy smokers. Huh. Okay, go to the second picture.
Now, that looks like a building in Germany from World War II.
Well, that's that kind of construction, that kind of architecture.
That's kind of an Albert Speer design. He would do something like that.
It was built during the time of... I think it was built during or right after the war, I think. I'm not sure. But it was one of Evita's big buildings where she had offices where people needed money. They just come in there and said, hey, I need money. And Evita would just give everybody money. Prior to the war, prior to Evita, Argentina was, I think, the fourth biggest country in the world as far as
welfare,
etc. She pretty well bankrupted them, though.
Uh-huh.
So it's now the national College of Engineering.
Hmm. It's still bankrupt, Argentina. It's not doing well.
No, unfortunately, they're not. They went through a series of governments. They had Nestor Kirchner.
Yeah.
And then when he died, his wife, Cristina, took over, and she was just as wild with spending as Evita.
Mm.
And incidentally, Kirchner is a German word meaning churchman. And there's lots of Argentine people with the last name of Kirchner who came over after the war.
Mm.
Kirchner means churchman. And as we know, the Vatican issued tons of passports for people mm-hmm. going through Europe heading for South America.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them just put churchman on their passport. But anyhow, Argentina's in bumpy shape right now financially, but they've got a new president. I don't know if he's doing the job or not. That's up to my friends down there in Argentina. I don't get involved in other people's politics. We have enough problem with our own politics.
Right.
So,
you can say that again.
The rest of them will just scoot on through. There's one of a giant chrome tulip, I guess. That's in another park.
Look at that. That's behind the tree.
Yep.
What an interesting piece of art.
Yeah. Well, they got modern sculptures all over, and they got ancient type sculptures too. They got one that's particularly of interest to me. As you know, I used to drive the super speedways.
Yeah.
They had a guy down there by the name of Juan Fangio, who was one of the greatest Formula One racers ever in history, and he was from there.
Huh.
Hello, Gus Chambers. We just got an email from another one of your guys, David. But anyhow, they've got a bronze image of him in his race car in one of the parks down there.
You know, that tulip looks like the P-38 at the Red Bull Museum. It looks
like... Yeah, it's chrome-plated. And the P-38 is chrome-plated.
Mm-hmm.
Allegedly cuts down on maintenance.
Yeah.
They just wash it. They don't have to repaint it. So then we've got a beautiful house. We're just going through a residential area here. Beautiful
mm-hmm.
house. Then we've got Club de Amigos, which I guess means friendship club, or friendly club.
The Club de Amigos.
Yeah, I imagine it means club of friends or something like that.
Well,
they didn't invite me in, so I guess I'm not their friend.
If you go in there and there's all men in there, you'll know you've made a mistake.
Yeah, I might find that that British journalist that's constantly attacking me.
Yeah. All right, who's the man on the horse? I know, it's Clayton Moore, the Lone Ranger.
No, wrong
no?
hat, wrong
yeah.
hat.
Damn.
No, this would be San Martin.
San Martin. Uh-huh.
Yeah, there's statues of San Martin all
He's
over
He's damn near the
there.
Patron saint of Argentina.
Pretty much. And what was it? Last year, February of 16, I was in the home where he was born and raised in, I think it's Cordoba province or maybe Misiones. They've got this huge, big temple-like structure built around the... falling down rubble of his home, and there's pictures of that on the website as well.
Wait, they're letting his house fall down?
Well, they're preserving it now. Uh-huh. Apparently, they built this temple-like structure after the house had fallen into ruin.
Mm.
But now it's pretty well preserved, and there's photos and artifacts all over. Plus, there's a grenadier standing honor guard. I don't know how often they change, but the guy stands at attention, doesn't move. I came in and saluted him. He never batted an eye. I stood next to him and had Martin take my photo with him. Never moved.
The British have, what do they call them, beef eaters?
Yeah, right. The beef eaters are the Swiss guards.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody can top the British for pomp and ceremony.
No. Or pedophilia or homosexuality.
I don't know anything about that, but...
Well, I don't either. I read the papers, though. Hey,
okay.
The next building below the horse in San Martin, what's that?
That one and the one below that, which is the wall around the courtyard, believe it or not, is a water recycling plant.
I would have guessed that. Come on. That's an easy one.
The next one with the white balconies, that's just an upscale apartment complex.
Uh-huh.
They're loaded with them, but, you know, on the
Yankee
Dollar.
It's like something
dollar,
in Florida, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's a heck of a lot cheaper down there because their peso right now is 16 pesos to the Yankee dollar.
Yeah, no wonder so you're going back.
Yeah, you can live pretty well. Just the airfare from here to there is a killer, like $1,500-$1,600 round trip.
Mm-hmm.
So now we get into a little of the meat of things. We see Hector, Rosa Teresa, and Dante.
All right.
Are you on that picture?
I'm on it.
Okay, Hector is one of our members. He's a friend, and he's also an incredible source for linking me with people down there.
Ah, gotcha.
Dante is his buddy.
Uh-huh.
And he speaks excellent English because he's an English teacher in school.
Very good.
And his mother, Rosa Teresa, was one of the main reasons I went down there. Not her, but her brother, who's now passed away, worked on an estancia owned by Fritz Mandel and saw the planes landing.
Planes,
Yeah, planes, plural. We'll get to that in a second. But I mentioned Fritz Mandel. Your listeners might not know who he was.
No.
He was an Austrian arms dealer, manufacturer, living, obviously, in Austria during the war. And he married a gorgeous woman by the name of Hedwig Eva Maria Kiesler. And one night, he gave his wife to Hitler for the night, assuming, I imagine, to get a weapons contract. And in the middle of the war, his wife came over to the United States, where she met up with Louis B. Mayer of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. And we Americans knew her as Hedy Lamarr.
And you're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding at all.
So Hedy Lamarr somehow slept with Hitler and when Eva Braun was in town shopping.
I don't know what the deal was with Eva. No, it's probably before Eva.
Mm-hmm.
But at any rate, and Hedy Lamarr put that in her autobiography as well. And she spent the last, 20 or 30 of, years of her life in retirement living in a little town about 20 miles from where I'm sitting right now.
She was a very interesting woman. So is Dietrich, of course, but Hedy Lamarr. How
Hedy Lamarr came up with some inventions for the American military.
Patented
during the
things?
War.
Yeah.
And so anyhow, the brother of Rosa Teresa, what a nice lady, what a sweetheart. 88 years old.
The brother is 88 or Rosa is?
Rosa is 88. The brother's dead now. But Rosa just couldn't stop hanging over me. Do you need coffee? Do you need some more cake? Do you need this? Do you need, no, please sit down, ma'am. So I filmed the whole interview. It's about an hour and 20 minutes, something like that. According to her brother, who was living on an estancia owned by Fritz Mandel, because he fled Europe when the war ended, and he had bicycle manufacturing plants in Argentina.
Yeah, just to get it, Fritz is the one who was married to Hedy.
Right.
All right. I just want to make sure we got that.
His bicycle factories down in Argentina kept turning out .303 caliber bicycles, and there was a weapons plant under another name. Him and Juan Perón were buddies. So anyhow, her brother lived on the estancia of the ranch and worked there. And he saw the planes landing, not only, and she couldn't confirm whether he saw the big six-engine JU-390 or not, but she said he saw the planes landing. I said, planes? What do you mean planes? I only thought there was one. She said, no. My brother said, several. I said, were they local planes? No. She said they had German markings on them. So we know that there was a flight of three Heinkel HE-188s that were specially modified with belly tanks of 900 gallons and wing tanks of 250 gallons each and modified to hold passengers, and they came down there. They couldn't do it in one jump like the Ju-390. They flew down to Spain, then from Spain to Dakar, then across the narrowest part of the South Atlantic, from Dakar to Belém, Brazil, and from there down into Argentina, bringing various personnel. We believe some of General Rattenhuber's staff were on that plane. Rattenhuber himself did not get away. He was captured. But so there, we knew they got down there, but we didn't know they went to the same area.
Hmm.
And how many more planes did we not know about? Last year when I was down there, we found out that there was a big six-engine flying boat was going down there, and it had an engine problem, and it had to land in a big lagoon. I think it was in Uruguay. I'd have to look at my files, but it landed in a big lagoon till they could make repairs. Yeah, engine problem. One propeller shattered, and pieces flew into the cabin, and the poor people sitting opposite the propeller wound up being ground beef. So I'd say that was a problem.
But that was on the long haul from Germany, too.
Yeah, there was a French-built plane, six-engine,
well,
flying boat.
You know, let me. We're running out of time here, but I want to tell you again about... Our listeners may remember this, but at the end of the war, the deals were being made, and part of the deal was that the elite of the German Third Reich were allowed to leave, many of them. I don't know who made the choices, who qualified, how they qualified, but American DC-4s, they were brand new at the end of the war, Douglas DC-4s with extended fuel tanks flew from Germany, I think to the Canaries, and then on down. And they flew dozens and dozens and dozens of flights with personnel, with materiel, and you can just let your imagination run wild.
A
P-51 Mustang squadron was retrained when the war ended to fly the DC-4s, and they were kept on in Germany. And I know somebody who knew one of the pilots. He passed away a couple years ago, who made two flights down there, and he said there were a lot of them. So the Americans were involved in flying a lot of the Germans out of there as well. Just FYI.
Yeah, the DC-4, I think that was the C-54 cargo plane, Army Air Force designation. So, but anyhow, that's more of what we have to go down and see. And as you and I know, that you and I talked about off mic, which we ain't going to go into here, we know more about that six-engine Ju-390.
Yeah, I wonder if any of the other planes that went down there...
wound up in the same situation?
Most likely.
It wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah,
but this is more for, you know, off the mic.
Right, okay. Hold on. We'll be right back after the top of the hour break with another hour of photos with Harry as we continue, so don't go away.